Lecture 15, The Art of Democracy.
Welcome back to this, our 15th lecture in the series on ancient Greek civilization. And in our last lectures, we've been looking at the phenomenal change that occurred in Greece as a result of the victory of the Greeks over the Persians at the time of the Persian Wars. And I argued in earlier lectures that as a result of these victories, we can see a new spirit, if you will, among the Greeks, and particularly in the city of Athens. A spirit of confidence, which is going to be an important component in the flowering of Greek culture of the classical period. And I've also argued that apart from this spiritual change, if you like, in the Greeks and particularly the Athenians of the 5th century, there was a material change as well. Quite simply, that Athens went from being the victor of the Persian Wars to becoming a center of a new Aegean Empire. Called the Delian League because it came into existence as an alliance of Greek states against the Persians, but rapidly transforming itself into an Athenian empire. Now, the culture of the classical period is always, of course, and correctly associated with the democracy. And even though we've first focused on the growth of Athenian power and might as an imperial power, what we really have to do, if we're going to understand the culture of classical Greece at all, is turn our attention now to the workings of the democracy in Athens in the 5th century. In other words, we want to work out how the democratic system worked in antiquity. And as we go through this, it will be interesting, I think, to keep one eye on the Greeks and one eye on our own notion of what it is that constitutes a democracy. What are the institutions that shape democratic experience? Who is excluded from a democracy and who is included in a democracy? What are the institutions of a society that help to contribute to a democratic spirit? These are the kinds of issues that I'd like to tease out in the lecture today. Well, the easiest way to begin and the logical place is with the organs of government. That is to say, how did the democracy technically function in 5th century Athens? Democracy, of course, means the power of the people, the demos, the rule of the people. And so fundamental to any democracy must be a popular assembly, known to the Greeks as the ecclesia. The ecclesia of Athens was open to all male adult citizens. It met 4 times per month. There were 10 months in the Athenian civic year. So it met a total of 40 times per year. Now, it is one thing to have an assembly which is open and invites the participation of all the adult male citizens. It is another to guarantee that they actually turn up. And in order to promote democracy and to encourage people to actively participate, citizens were in fact paid money to attend the assembly, in the 4th century at least. The rate of pay for attending the assembly was 1 drachma per meeting. A single drachma is about equivalent, I won't give you dollar terms because those make no sense, but it's about equivalent to the wage that a skilled labourer would receive for a day's work. So it is a good working wage to actually go along to the assembly. Of these 4 assemblies held each month, 1 was known as the Kyria Ecclesia, which means the important assembly. And that was the assembly at which the most critical and important affairs were put on the agenda. And, of course, payment then for that assembly was at a higher rate. You got 9 obols, which is to say 1.5 drachmas, a very good rate of pay for a single day's attendance. Important decisions of the assembly were voted on by the entire male population present, and after they had been voted on, normally then those decisions would be recorded. One of the temples in Athens, the temple of the mother of the gods, the Matroon, was used as a state archive. And in addition to the perishable forms of records, the papyri, for example, on which these might be recorded, many of them also were then cut onto stone.